Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Firefighters are making significant progress against one of the largest fires in Colorado history. The Aspen Acres fire, burning in Pueblo and Custer counties, is now nearly one-third contained. But firefighters are warning this weekend's heat is going to be a challenge, and the number of structures burned is far more than originally thought. The fires burned more than 97,000 acres. That's 150 square miles, making it the seventh largest fire in Colorado history. Today, federal incident management teams estimated that 850 structures have been lost. It's not just homes. That number includes garages, barns, sheds, and such. The official damage estimate will eventually come from Pueblo and Custer County sheriffs, but their work isn't complete. So far, they've counted more than 330 homes that have burned. Fire crews toured the burn area with Senators Michael Bennet and John Hickenlooper today. They credit homeowners who did quick fire mitigation for saving some homes.
As many structures that we did see lost, flying the fire the last couple of days, there were a lot of good saves. And that was in part because people did work around their homes before the fire came through.
There are people all over El Paso County who live in that wildland urban interface. And the houses that survived, that were miracles, one after another, they cleared away the shrubbery close to their house. They got rid of trees close that weren't touching their garage, weren't touching their house. They made their defensible space fireproof. And those people still have homes.
Fire crews have made the most progress on the southern edge of the fire. The Pueblo County Sheriff has lifted some evacuation orders in those areas. Folks can return home, but they need to be ready to leave again at a moment's notice. Meteorologist Corey Reppenhagen is along. And Corey, they're also watching the impact of rain in the area that's burned. Nope, we're not lip readers. So we're going to come back and we're going to try that again with a microphone in just a moment. We apparently have Corey's microphone. Let's head back now with sound.
Hey, you know, it's magic. I don't even know what happened there. But, what I was saying there in the silent moments there, Kyle, was that the weather is never really on the side of the firefighters. You know, we haven't had red flag fire weather warnings for the last 7 days. That's why they've been able to get some containment. But the afternoon thunderstorms have been a major concern here. And look at this severe thunderstorm here that just missed the Aspen Acres burn area here, marked out here in the pink color. Now, we did have two flash flood warnings already this week, but that is one of the things. And also the gusty winds coming from these storms can re-energize some of those hot spots. And you can see the Aspen Acres fire here, not quite out of the woods yet, as there are some storms building there behind us. And now the firefighters are going to have another good day of firefighting conditions tomorrow without any other fire weather warnings, but they will have to contend with the heat, which isn't awful for the fire conditions, but it is very rough for the firefighters. We have a heat wave that starts tomorrow. Temperatures could get close to 100 degrees here across the Front Range. That's what I'll be describing coming up in just a few minutes, Kyle.
All right. Thank you, Corey. When folks are in trouble in Colorado, we don't just watch. So let's help the hundreds of Coloradans who have lost their homes. This week's Word of Thanks microgiving campaign goes to the Southern Colorado Wildfire Relief Fund. This is a project of the United Way of Southern Colorado. They raced to set up a donation center to meet immediate needs in that community, a place where people could stop in and take what they need, food, water, clothes, phone chargers. The Southern Colorado Wildfire Relief Fund will help the hundreds of families who lost their homes with immediate needs, and they'll also be there for the long-term costs, especially for people whose insurance will not cover rebuilding. United Way Southern Colorado is not taking any fees or overhead for this effort. When I reached out and I said that I knew a bunch of people, many on the Front Range, who would be willing to help with this, they were surprised. But for years, you have generously helped Coloradans who have lost it all. I told them that help would be on the way. And earlier this week, you passed the $100,000 mark in what you've raised. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to get the link to donate. You've proven even $5 helps when a ton of people do it. More than 8,000 of you are signed up to make a monthly pledge to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info one time each month. Your donations automatically split among all of the nonprofits we feature, and that is likely to add another $40,000 to this campaign. Victor Marks is atop the ballot for Colorado Republicans heading into November, and Colorado's Democrats are thrilled. It's not just that other Republicans have labeled their candidate for governor, Marks, a con man and a fraud. It's that Democrats think that Marks could sink other more electable Republicans along with him. Our Marshall Zellinger explains.
Colorado Democrats held 66 of the 100 legislative seats this year, one seat shy of a supermajority in both the House and Senate.
Having a supermajority means, you know, the Democrats can override a veto without needing any Republicans to do it. They can refer legislation to voters without needing any Republicans to do it.
DU political science professor Seth Maskett is a data guy, but he doesn't have the data to know what Victor Marks' name at the top of the ballot will mean for Republican candidates farther down the ballot.
Unless there's like a really, you know, competitive other race in their district, I think a lot of Republican voters might just not bother to turn out. And yeah, that puts a supermajority a little more in Democrats' grasp.
I just think Republicans have been there a lot longer in the midst of our identity crisis than the Democrats. I tell my Democrat friends, I am the ghost of Christmas future. Welcome to the party.
Republican commentator Kelly Maher, who supported Republican Barb Kirkmeyer for governor, sees some of her own party fractures showing on the Democratic side, with Democratic Socialist Milot Kyros ousting 15-term Congresswoman Diana DeGette. But Kyros will only appear on November ballots within Congressional District 1 in the Denver area. Marks' name will be on everyone's ballot statewide.
The same way Republicans have been painted across Colorado with the Donald Trump brush, that Democrats are expecting to be painted across Colorado with the Milot Kyros brush.
If the Republican Party was at DEFCON 3 before the primary, I think they're at DEFCON 1.
Cole Wist, the former Republican lawmaker turned unaffiliated supporter of Democrat Phil Weiser, sees the potential for Marks to lower the chances of competitive state House and Senate Republicans.
Supermajorities are bad for our state because it's you don't get the best public policy when both parties don't have some ability to control the agenda.
We even heard from Phil Weiser last week about single party control. He told you, Kyle, it's not healthy for any state to have one party dominate because another party is dysfunctional. Even if Democrats have veto-proof numbers, they're still showing cracks within their own party. A division of moderate Democrats versus a growing number of progressive and Democratic socialists that might make in-party fighting the biggest battle for Democrats.
Fighting is easier when your party's winning. For years, we've been asking, when will Colorado Republicans hit rock bottom?
This may be it. I mean, if you look at history, the pendulum has swung back and back from Republicans to Democratic control. Like, pendulums have to swing the other way eventually.
That's
right?
How pendulums work. Yeah, no, a noted fan of pendulums, Marshall Zellinger. Thank you. A Latino civil rights organization is suing the city of Greeley, claiming recent redistricting dilutes the power of Latinos in city elections. Greeley's divided into four city council districts. The lines were drawn after the 2020 census. But Latino civil rights group MALDEF says the districts are not proportional. The largest district has 10,000 more people than the smallest district. The lawsuit claims the more populated wards have the highest percentages of Latino residents. So they're suing on behalf of three Latino plaintiffs who say the uneven maps weaken their voting power.
We teach our kids that your vote matters, your voice matters, and right now it doesn't feel that way.
What we've seen here is that Ward 1, for example, has around 11,000 more people in it than Ward 3. That's frankly shocking.
Greeley City Charter requires its four wards to have about the same number of residents. The city can redraw those boundaries every 4 years. The last update was in 2022. The city is not commenting on that lawsuit. The best-known name in Colorado politics, John Hickenlooper, has been reelected to the U.S. Senate by less than 6 percentage points. His progressive challenger, State Senator Julie Gonzalez, cut his lead significantly as all the late ballots were counted. That race turned out to be far more competitive than I ever expected, which means that it deserved far more coverage than I gave it. You deserved better. Both Hick and Gonzalez came on this program for in-depth, pretty challenging interviews, but I basically left it at that. Had I realized that this race was so competitive, I would have tried to organize a debate. There was no debate in that race. And I would have spent more time covering their policy differences rather than focusing so much on other races. So how did I get it so wrong? I knew that there was strong anger against incumbents and inaction, but I expected Hickenlooper's decades of experience and his relative goodwill among Democrats to give him more of a cushion. I underestimated the ability for Gonzalez to put together a strong ground game without a whole lot of fundraising. I don't focus on this race or that race as a means of predicting the outcome or influencing how it turns out. I focus on certain races because your time and resources are not infinite, and nor are mine. But supporters of both Gonzalez and Hickenlooper would have been better served to know that this race was close. I missed on this one, badly. So each election season, our assumptions are based in part on what has happened in the past. This year scrambled a lot of assumptions, which hopefully will lead to me doing a better job next time pointing out which races might turn out to be unexpectedly close so that you can act accordingly. Colorado's first responders are telling private drone operators to buzz off while firefighters work fires. And we end the week the way we always do, with a look at some of the good going on in our state.
We welcomed our third baby boy very rapidly.
We will talk to athletes on the field and spectators next. Colorado's first responders are using every resource available to fight wildfires from the ground and from the air. Privately operated drones are not helping. Licensed drone pilots are taught federal aviation rules, but not everybody follows them, and some people flying drones aren't licensed at all. South Metro Fire Rescue tracked down a drone pilot who disrupted firefighting operations in Douglas County last weekend. The sheriff's office said they had to stop helicopter operations until the drone was grounded. They cited the pilot. Colorado Springs tweeted about a similar problem last week. And first responders working the big fires around Colorado have been begging drone operators to just stay clear.
Emergency operations is no time to be out there trying to get that perfect shot. Emergency, you know, you'll delay the emergency operations, you'll pull aircraft off of it, you'll ground our drones as well.
Violating FAA guidelines carries stiff state and federal penalties, including fines and even potential jail time. Meteorologist Corey Reppenhagen is back, and they've got themselves a little dust kicker-upper out by the airport.
Man, some gusty winds being kicked up out there, 73 miles per hour at DIA as this storm moved through here. You can see this live picture. Denver, the city's in the sun, and right behind us, dark skies. That's a severe thunderstorm. You can see it here on radar. Just moved past the Denver International Airport. Probably had major impact to flight operations, but it's now clear of there and now moving through the Bennett area, still producing possibly 60 mile per hour plus winds. Down to the south, another batch of severe storms just to the east of Pueblo County. Man, if this thing hit the Aspen Acres Burns area, that would have been a flood disaster. Flood warning or flood watch goes until about 8 o'clock tonight. So there's still a few chances for that burn area to be hit by a thunderstorm. And then tomorrow, the focus is going to be completely on the heat as we dry things out, warm things up. 104 out in Grand Junction. Forecast for tomorrow, 99 in Cortez. A rare 90-degree day in Steamboat Springs and Aspen, 97 in Denver, and 99 in Greeley. So the heat is on. The heat wave starts tomorrow, and it could go all the way through Wednesday. We're watching the potential for weather impacts in this heat wave as the temperatures move up there close to 99 degrees each and every one of those days. And the heat will continue into next weekend. I'll have more on that as the heat wave intensity reveals itself over the next several days.
I'm also excited to be here because I love to play hockey in the basement with my brother.
All right, let's get off the sidelines, chase down what is good in the lives of our neighbors to end the week as we always do. Hey, a reminder, you can catch Next streaming each night at 6 p.m. wherever you watch. And Next is now a podcast wherever you get those. Some of Denver's major sports teams came together today to hold Youth Sports Day in partnership with the Special Olympics. It was pure joy, the perfect place to go find the good news in the lives of our neighbors.
Morning. Morning.
Morning, y'all.
Morning.
What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Are you ready to have a good time today?
We're here at Youth Sports Day for the Special Olympics and KSC Charities. I'm the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche, and my good news is that God's blessings are everywhere.
My good news is seeing how cool it is for everybody to get an opportunity.
About 3 or 4 goals have been scored so far. Not a whole lot of goaltending. Goaltending has been subpar, if not non-existent here. Actually, there are no goaltending.
We welcomed our third baby boy. We're enjoying him.
This guy is my sibling, Elliot.
My good news is that we get to be here. I'm grateful to God, love my son, to have special needs. We have these special opportunities.
I'm also excited to be here because I love to play hockey.
Just getting to get around all these other kids, all the Special Olympians, and watch them have so much fun and succeed and smile. It's just an amazing thing that we get to be a part of.
My good news is being here today for the annual Special Olympics Youth Sports Day Clinic, and something that I'm really proud to be a part of.
And that'll do it for Youth Sports Day here at Special Olympics Colorado and KSC Charities. Best day of the year.
All those medals, all those smiles. Back with your feedback next. A couple in northern Colorado was deluged with strangers wishing them well after the birth of their child last weekend. And I apologize for that.
She's an easy baby. She sleeps well. She eats a lot. She's very mellow-mannered. She laughs at my silly jokes. So I can't complain.
He could complain about the 1,000 random strangers commenting on his family's birth announcement on Facebook due to a name mix-up.
Nice to meet you, Kyle Clark. I'm the other Kyle Clark.
Nice to meet you, Kyle Clark.
For starters, our congratulations on the birth of your beautiful daughter, but also our apologies for the 1,000 other congratulations that you got for the birth of your beautiful daughter.
You know, that's okay. It'll be a great story for years to come. It'll be, you know, I probably only know about 1,100 people in my life, so 1,000 others came along to say congratulations that day. We were just fine with it.
Best we can figure, Facebook's algorithm sent the birth announcement posted by Northern Colorado real estate agent Kyle Clark to everyone who follows the other Kyle Clark.
I have a feeling that this may not have been the only time that I have accidentally caused commotion or irritation in your life, and for that I am sorry.
Oh, you know, it's been quite funny, actually. You have mixed friends around the state of Colorado. Some people like you, some people love you, other people don't.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
So, you know, it's funny, as a real estate professional, a lot of times people be like, oh, it'll be great name recognition. And I'm like, well, it could be. It could be hit or miss on your house. We'll have to see who we get.
All the best to you guys. Thank you so much for being so cool about everything. It was good to talk to you. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you as well. Enjoy.
All right, take care. See ya.
You too.
Congratulations to the Clarks. Feedback now via text. Way to take ownership of your Democratic Senate primary coverage. That's solid, responsible journalism. That is why we watch. This from Ray. Thanks for being willing to say that you might have made a mistake, where you could have done better, and what you will do to be better in the future. Ray says, I hope other public figures will take a lead from your example. I mean, whether other people do or not, right, we have to be introspective about what we do right and where we fall short. I also love that Ray added, I hope your whole team has a great weekend. I hope they do too. I'm peacing out to one of my favorite places in this state, so I intend to have a great weekend, and I will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.